Morning, if you would pray with me one more time. Father God, as we gather this morning for worship, we pray that we would be a people who find our hope and our joy and our purpose in you. A people who follow Jesus in laying down our lives and navigating the chaos of this world with humility and with grace. And let us not seek after the approval of men, but rather stand confidently on your word of truth, knowing that just as you spoke creation into existence by your power, you will sustain us to the end. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the school. We got everything set up. It looks amazing. The plan was obviously that we would have a few more people here this morning, but after 3 weeks of preaching to a handful of people in the spare room of my house, this is a nice change. I was excited to be looking into your eyes as I preach this morning, but we will just have to let the anticipation build a little more. And it's been a long 3 months. It's been a hard 3 months in a lot of ways for the world and particularly for our nation. And so I'm going to step back this morning from the book of Mark for a week. Obviously, the intention was that I would be preaching this to a room full of people, but I'm just going to roll with it because I want to take a look at all that's been going on and is still going on and talk about gratitude in the midst of the chaos. And then I want to challenge us as a community to see the call of the gospel and how that informs us as to how we live in the midst of so much tension and division. And I know there are lots of varying opinions on COVID-19, and I don't really care to talk about all of them. However, as I mentioned on the video on Friday, we have friends and we have loved ones now who have been hospitalized and who have died from this disease. So if you tend towards the conspiracy theory, virus denial camp, maybe just be slow to speak, bathed in humility. Probably just good all the time, but particularly during this time. People are being affected by this virus. The world is not coming to an end. We're not going to be overrun. But I'm pretty sure that the next few weeks are probably going to get worse before they get better. And while most of us haven't experienced sickness from this, we've all been affected. Most of the nation shut down overnight. Sports, movie theaters, restaurants, hair salons, gyms, and even corporate worship just stopped. Now, for some of you, your jobs kept rocking along, or they even got busier. For others, you were juggling working from home while all of your children are there, but for many, you instantly had a lot of time on your hands without a lot of activities outside the home. And while it's been a learning curve for all of us, my hope and my prayer is as we continue to wade through the chaos, we would be moved to gratitude. These 3 months that we just lived through and are still in the midst of are going to go down in history. They are unprecedented times. And I hope that as the church, we will learn from this time and not just go back to how things used to be, to life as usual. As I've talked to so many of you over this time after the initial shock, what I started hearing was gratitude for the forced change of pace. I was hearing about more walks with family, more games, more creative ways to encourage one another, to serve other people. In this culture where we have historically, perpetually talked about how little time we have and how busy our schedules are, God kind of said, here you go, all the time that you could ever want. And it was hard. And it was kind of awesome. Some parents were challenged to disciple their kids in ways that they had never had to do before, or to a degree they had never been challenged with before. Kids had to get creative with their own siblings. Walking the neighborhood all of a sudden became something everyone was excited about because you got to leave the house. I think more bicycles and kid pools and all things outdoor play have been sold in the last 3 months than in the history of the world. Go to Walmart, you can't even find a bicycle. This slowness has forced people outside with their families. Now, I would never choose a global pandemic to make this all happen, but I've been so encouraged by you all throughout this time. As I said in one of my early emails, struggles like this are the litmus test of our faith. When you remove Sunday morning, you restrict social interactions, you take away a lot of the normal comforts of our life, how does the church respond? And I was able to watch you all build one another up, to serve and care and love each other in so many amazing and creative ways. Even as we long to be together again. And I know for me, not being able to gather for so long has made me so thankful for the fact that I know we will gather again. And I'm longing for that day. Because because three months ago, this idea that we wouldn't be able to gather on a Sunday morning wasn't on any of our radars. It just wasn't possible. Until it was. Until lots of things that we thought were impossible happened. And the same goes for hanging out with friends. As we slowly began to have people on our deck for fellowship, there was such a deep thankfulness to just be with fellow believers. To see them face to face rather than on a computer screen. Kind of reminds me of how we approach dessert with my children. They love dessert. But every once in a while, they get to this point where they whine when they don't get it. And that's a big parenting indicator for me that they've moved from appreciation to entitlement. Dessert is no longer a blessing and a joy, but it's an expectation. And what they need is to experience its absence for a while so they can appreciate it once again. And that's kind of what I see happening on a global scale. Physically gathering as the body of Christ is a blessing that we cannot take for granted. And even as we wait a little bit longer for that day to come, my hope is that over the next few weeks, we would take time to talk about all that we are thankful for. As we slowly start gathering together in smaller groups, let's just take time to express our gratitude for all that God has done during this time, even in the midst of hardships, because this is the will of God for your life. It's God's will. I know it's tempting to grumble and complain, to get caught up in petty arguments and to vent on social media. We see that all over the place. But Scripture is pretty clear. Do all things, without grumbling or disputing. If you just took those two things out of our culture right now, things would be a lot more chill. All things, all circumstances, no matter what you face in this life, do it without grumbling or disputing. Instead, we are to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That is God's will for our lives as His people, to live lives of rejoicing and thanksgiving that are bathed in prayer, no matter the circumstance. But COVID-19 has really become the easy conversation these days. Because the last several weeks haven't just been marked by a virus, but deep-rooted sin has been exposed in our nation. We've seen racial injustice, we've seen violence, we've seen a tremendous amount of anger and tension and frustration across our nation. And I know that in this room, there are a lot of different perspectives on the subject. Some of you are deeply active in the battle for justice and equality. Some don't really think that this affects your life. While others are probably in a little bit of denial that racism exists, or want to focus more on the rioting rather than the injustices. And I'm not here to get political on you, because my hope is not in our politicians or in our political system. Where there are laws that need to change or injustices happening, it should be the church that stands up and speaks out against that injustice. But at the same time, we must understand that you cannot legislate sin. You cannot legislate the human heart. Racism has been around as long as human beings have been on earth, and it's not going to go anywhere because its roots are in the sinful pride of human hearts. We have obvious racism against black people, but we also have leaders essentially encouraging racism against Chinese people now. And as a country, we've always had problems with Middle Eastern people, right? Even though Jesus would have looked more like a terrorist in our worldview than the pictures we grew up with. I mean, for much of my life, I thought Jesus was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white guy. And that's what people wanted me to believe. Our lens has been skewed. No matter what race or color or nationality you are, sin has corrupted the way we see other people. It has corrupted our hearts, and the only lasting answer is not new laws, but new hearts. To have our hearts renewed and transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Because if anyone is in Christ, anyone, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you are made new. You are a new creation. And this is God's work in us. We are reconciled with God, united with one another, and we become ministers of reconciliation. We become members of a new family, a new kingdom, composed of people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. The problem with the church is often that it looks into the world and says, "Why don't you change? Why are there so many problems? How do we fix everything that's going on out there?" Rather than looking inside itself and saying, how are we called to live differently than the world? What is the call on my life? Because the only answer to one culture is another culture. Not just a concept or an idea, not a list of values or a political agenda, but a counterculture. The call of the church is to be a living embodiment of the gospel. To present a culture so starkly different than the world around us that people see the way we love and sacrifice and look to the needs of others and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. We need to stop filtering life through our political opinions, our personality quirks, and cultural bias, and look at how God has called us to live through his indwelling spirit. Humility, grace, love, mercy, thinking of the needs of others before our own, laying down our rights for others. Or Romans 12. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Are we weeping with our black brothers and sisters who are hurting? See, I didn't have any big compulsion to join in on any marching when this all went down. I didn't. It's not really something that went through my mind. But when Pastor Bryant called me and asked me to join in, to walk and to pray for the city at the steps of Humble City Council or Humble City Hall, I went. And several of you came as well. Not because I understand the pain or the hurt that he and many of his church members feel, but because he is a brother in Christ. And if he is hurting, then I am hurting. Then the church is hurting. We are one body, made up of many different parts. This is kingdom life. We don't have to fully understand the pain or even experience it on our own. But when we see brothers and sisters in Christ hurting, the call on our lives is to carry that burden with them. To look into the chaos and the brokenness of the world and to present an alternative. A people unified by the blood of Jesus. And Jesus alludes to this countercultural reality of his kingdom in Mark chapter 10. We're going to get there here in a few weeks, but shouldn't be a surprise. The disciples were getting big heads again. They were arguing and bickering over who would sit at Jesus' right and left hand in glory. And Jesus responded saying this: "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them," right? Rulers out in the world. "You know that they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, the disciples' minds were consumed with the world, with the way of the world and the power structure of the world. And Jesus is like, "You're missing the point. I am creating an entirely new kingdom and culture that is nothing like the world. It's opposite of the world." Jesus didn't say we need to do something about the bad leadership among the Gentiles. He didn't say, "Let's go change the way the world views leadership." He looked at his disciples and said, "It shall not be so among you. In my kingdom, among my people, for those called according to my purposes, it shall not be so among you. In my kingdom, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, black, white, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, contrary to this gospel, as Paul says in Galatians 1:9, let him be accursed. That sounds pretty serious. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. See, there will always be racism out there in the world. But it shall not be so among you. I love this church. I say it all the time. There is no group of people that I have ever known that loves and cares for one another as well as you do. God has done and is doing a mighty work in this community, and I am constantly humbled to be a part of it. And yet, we have so much growing that we can still do. So much to learn. And my hope over the coming months is to expand our perspective of the people of God, of who we are. We are a part of a global family, an eternal kingdom with different cultures and stories and experiences that we can all learn and grow from. Pastor and Bryant and I, We've talked a lot over the last few months, and while we talk about our marriages and good books and what we're struggling with personally, obviously lately a lot of our conversations have been about racial tension. And we both agree that our communities would benefit from some intentional fellowship. It's something we've talked about for a long time, but given all that's going on, it seems more pressing at the moment. And we're not talking about anything crazy, just getting some men together in my backyard. Creating conditions to build relationships and laugh and tell stories and maybe a little heckling over a game of cornhole. And we want to get the women together too, with no agenda other than fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's it. Fellowship. But I'm confident that as we build relations with godly men and women who may not look like us, who have different life experiences than us, when we get to know them and they get to know us, we will all view racial tension in a new light. Because changing your Facebook profile and shaming people who don't respond in the way that you think that they should isn't going to bring about lasting change. If you fight sin with sin, you just end up with more sin. If we disregard the life and ministry of Jesus in our attempts to bring about change, we are doing more damage than we're doing good. That's the way of the world. But as Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. Real change will only come when the body of Christ grows to reflect the heart of Christ more and more. A unified body across political and sociological and racial lines. Real change will come when we extend grace and walk in humility with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we just read in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ laid down his life for our salvation. He called us out of death and into his glorious kingdom. And he said, follow me, listen to me, walk in obedience to me. And that is my prayer for this church and for the global church, that we would be a living embodiment of the gospel, putting the grace and love and mercy of Jesus Christ, our Savior, on display for the world. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask today that you would open our eyes to the beautiful diversity of the kingdom you are building through the ministry of Jesus Christ. God, let us not be a people who are content with the way things are or the way things have been, but rather a people who long to see your kingdom come in power and who long to display that kingdom here on earth. God, give us your heart. A heart that abhors injustice, that stands up for the marginalized and the weak. A heart that loves mercy and longs to see salvation and life spread like wildfire over this nation. For your glory and our joy, we pray. Amen.